the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 3, episode 26, episode number 116. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm feeling good.
Same. Something just fell in the other room, hence the look of alarm on my face. We're fine. My apartment might be falling down, but I'm fine. How are you?
Awesome. We had no internet for 4 days this past weekend.
That's right.
So all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and they didn't get it back up and working until Monday at 4:30. It was a long weekend. Stretch. We watched the same Paw Patrol on DVD several times. My parents were here. It was great.
Nice. It was like 1998, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of was. It wasn't so bad because I finally took my Christmas decorations down.
So that's good.
This could potentially be problematic, but it's still up. But that's all taken care of. Anyway, yeah, AT&T, man, AT&T.
Yeah, they're the worst. They're like the absolute worst. Did I ever tell you guys that I once like actually cried on the phone with them?
Yes, you have.
Oh my God.
And I believe you got something positive for it, if I'm not mistaken, yeah?
At the time I thought I did, but basically later on I learned that they actually didn't change anything. And
oh.
Yeah, once again. And by then I was just kind of broken and was just like, well, fuck you guys. Like, I'm just not.
Okay. Well, we got them to agree to comp our data usage for the entire weekend until service came back up. So
which is the least they can do.
Yeah.
Right. Seriously.
Hotspotted the shit out of everything, which is what we did to do the patrons pizza party on Sunday.
Nice. How did that go? Yeah.
It was fun.
I was very sad to miss it. I have been looking forward to that ever since Dan originally suggested it. And then I thought I was going to be available on Sunday. And then like a couple days beforehand, I realized that I wasn't. And it was too bad. But
next time, because I think I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Because I feel like it took a long time for that to actually materialize. But everyone was convinced.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. And you know who had the best time? My son, Zachary, who ate 3 pieces of pizza as an unaccompanied minor outside watching Paw Patrol.
Nice.
He had a very good food day. His food journal was colorful.
Oh, it was, because he had muffins and donuts with grandma and grandpa before they drove home on Sunday.
Nice.
And then he went to the movies with Jay and ate popcorn, a bag of Twizzlers, and a hot dog.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's an ingenious combination.
It's impressive.
I know. Anyway, good Lord. that was the bulk of my weekend. So I didn't really have too much to talk about, but I do have a resolution.
Oh.
I am going to try to be better with my language. Over the last year, my language really has picked up in real life. Like, I've always been a potty mouth on podcasts, but I've always thought that I've been a little bit better in person, like at work at least. And over the last year, I've kind of been sliding. So I'm going to try in general to use better language. So at work yesterday, Monday, I actually said, oh my goodness, instead of holy shit.
Oh, I say stuff like that. Yeah.
I was like, what would Jay say? Because Jay is the king of like coming up with those kind of words like shnikes or son of a beeswax or something like that.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. So I can't wait for.
Oh, that one's one of my favorites.
So that's my goal. I'm going to try to keep it better on here and better in real life, but really better in real life.
Yeah, I don't think you need to keep it cleaner on here.
Oh, I know. We already got an explicit tag.
Your own self-fulfillment. You do you. But yes, I'm proud of you. I think that's a perfectly delightful. I fucking love it.
I very love you.
I fucking love it.
I fucking love you.
Right, exactly. Just channel your inner good place.
Yes. Yeah. I have to watch that show. But I think I forking love it might be an episode title contender.
I think it's a good one. It's a good one. Wait, so have you not seen The Good Place?
I have not.
At all?
Oh, well, you gotta start. It is the best thing on television.
It's so good.
I know. I'm going it's to get so to good. It. I did start a rewatch again of Veronica Mars season one. Like I pulled out the DVDs this weekend at one point. Because we realized that nighttime TV, I was like, oh my God, this is what's wrong with America, is that people who like watch cable at night have to watch The Voice over and over again. And yeah, America's Got Talent. Much. Like there were so many shows that made me feel that like I was sad for watching them. That's not the right word.
Not that you were sad. It made you feel like you could be sad.
Yes. I don't know. Like I did, I watched Susan Boyle on America's Got Talent Celebrity Edition or whatever it's called, All-Star Edition.
All-Star Edition.
Cool. Nice.
But also, I don't know. I really like my grown-up TV shows with swear words that I watch on Netflix at nighttime.
Yeah. So speaking of Netflix, yeah. Have you guys been watching Tidying Up?
No, but Jay has.
No.
Oh, I'd be interested to see what he thinks. I like simultaneously love and loathe it.
It makes me rage,
but I love it.
What about it and what is not great about it? Because it's one of those things that seem to be catching in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's like super satisfying to see all of that shit get organized and like decluttered. And I do feel like there's this collective moment of, I think people are starting to be more conscious of like consumerism, and it's like, oh yeah, maybe we shouldn't just like buy all this shit and then you just have all this shit and like need to get rid of it. So that's very satisfying to watch. And I like her method and like she's adorable and really fun. But basically it shows all of sort of like what women do, but aren't thanked for or recognized for. And I feel like the cleaning method, it's like this one-time fix where both partners have to help out equally. And that's great. But more or less equally, it's still kind of gendered. But but it doesn't cut to the actual like underlying problem, which is that men don't do 50% or more of the household stuff, which they should be doing.
Right.
So like, you know, it doesn't necessarily foster like a deeper conversation about how part of the reason that this is messy or cluttered or what have you is because this woman has been doing all of these things, some of which are invisible, and like she shouldn't have to do that all by herself.
Right. I will add it to the list after The Good Place, I guess. Actually, maybe I should put it before because it sounds like there's less episodes to watch.
True. Yeah. Although, I mean, The Good Place, I feel like you can catch up on pretty quick because they're only a couple of seasons out and it's short episodes. Yeah. And also it's really addicting.
Cool.
It's only the first two seasons on Netflix. I got through it all. Like,
the third season is like partially out. Let me see where they're at. I'm caught up, but I can't remember how many episodes are out. The Good Place. I know you can watch it like also on Hulu and also on demand. So it's just like all, and they don't necessarily have the same amount of episodes released on all of those platforms, which is confusing.
But I noticed that.
Oh my God, there's a new episode.
To go watch it on, but like they didn't have like the first two episodes. I'm like, well, I'm not going to start the new season in the middle.
Oh yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure that Matt has already commented in the Facebook group telling us exactly how we can watch all of the in all of the good places.
Yeah.
Future us will have the answer.
To be fair, Matt, I am current on The Good Place, except for one episode that just came out the other day, apparently. So season 3, episode 10. But by the time this podcast episode comes out, I will have watched that.
Cool. How was everybody else's weekend?
It's good. My parents were in town. They came to Brooklyn. We took them to the Brooklyn Museum.
I saw that. I saw on your mom's Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
They got lost. They ended up in Chinatown.
Nice.
You know, they had a great visit. They brought me a bunch of Christmas stuff, some of which I had bought some new plates. So I've retired my old 20-something, very girly plates, and I'm doing my first Facebook Marketplace sale. Ooh. It's not going well. No one wants my plates.
Oh, I actually saw that on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, they're very nice. They're like in perfect condition.
And you're selling them for like a very reasonable price, I feel like.
Right. It's like $2 a unit. And no one wants them.
Oh.
So I don't
know. Everyone has seen tidying up and they're like, no more. No more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, no more. No more.
I'm sorry. I just noticed that Kayla tagged us in a.
Yeah.
In the Gillette ad, which Fallon also sent us, which the three of us discussed this morning, which we also talked about in PO. So,
yeah, we did.
I just want to take this moment to say that we loved the ad, and I think it's really funny, all of the snowflake penises that are having meltdowns over having their feelings hurt over this ad.
Yeah. I thought they were tough.
We're just fighting back.
No, it's pretty terrible when somebody's like, try to be the best version of yourself, and your response is like, don't tell me that I'm a terrible person.
Liberal propaganda.
it's not quite what we said. Like, try to be the best version of yourself, aka don't rape somebody. Don't tell me what to do.
Why do you hate men?
Why do you hate men? Yeah. Propaganda bullshit. Boycott.
Rapists. And people that show their penises when we don't want to see them. And people who take advantage of other people who are in lesser positions of power. Right. And people who commit assault in all forms. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay, sorry. Back to the happy things. We are all over the place, and that is my fault. Bad producer. Bad.
No, it's okay. It's my fault too. I froze a couple seconds ago and I'm still trying to catch up to how we got to the Gillette commercial.
Kayla tagged us in a post, and the moral of the story is don't show your dick to people that don't want to see it at the end.
Right.
Okay.
Kayla tagged us in a post, which highlights basically all the men that you shouldn't be talking to anyway. God, it's like things like this are actually pretty hilarious to just like sit on the sidelines and watch with popcorn, because it's like all of the men that they're actually talking about sort of like come out of the shadows and show themselves.
Right. The point. Okay. So hold on.
Exactly.
Let me that article that I sent you guys earlier. And I will read in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, and maybe you don't. There was a Gillette ad, and it basically targeted toxic masculinity and said, you know, gave examples of things like boys will be boys or bullying or whatever else that I can't think of the top of my head. And
mansplaining, manterrupting.
Exactly. Oh, yes. Like the
objectifying women.
Exactly. So
all the things.
And the whole premise of the commercial was we can be better. And then it showed other men correcting the behavior that was highlighted as problematic in the first half of the commercial. Well, there's a bunch of little snowflakes that are very offended. The feelings are very, very hurt over this. I believe, let's see, let me pull this up. So on the Gillette, the actual Gillette YouTube thing, there are, like the advertisement on YouTube, there are 122,000 thumbs up and 408,000 thumbs down. So Russia came out in droves.
Wow.
It was like a feeding frenzy.
Also, who does that? I mean, clearly lots of people thumbs up and thumbs down things, but like why?
Fragile egos.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's another thing. It's like, just maybe everyone should spend less time online. Like,
right.
I can get a life, people.
Like, does that, does that soothe your anger? Is that, like, the soothing tonic that you need to being called out for your shitty behavior is to thumbs down that video?
Very vigorously thumbs down.
So they a whole bunch of YouTube accounts so they could thumbs down. They took a shot with each one because they're manly men, and then they washed it down with Bud Light.
Right. And then they...
Which they told their kid to go get for them out of the fridge. Which, because that's another thing that we have not...
Next to them already.
Right. But that's like another point that we haven't really touched upon. And I think is kind of an important part of the ad is that, like, it sort of ends with, because the boy, you know, because our boys will become the men of tomorrow. It's like, can we get our act together so that the next generation can fix everything that we've been doing wrong? And it's like, how can you argue with that?
According to the transcript, it ends with, because we believe in the best in men to say the right thing, to act the right way. Some already are, in ways big and small, but some is not enough. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
Exactly.
Whoever wrote that copy, man, cheers.
Yep. Pretty hard to argue with, but hey.
You would think.
Apparently not, because 480,000 people tried. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
One comment said it was propaganda, pure and simple. Another said, this commercial is awful. It is dripping with contempt for men and upholds ridiculous stereotypes. Now, all these have misspellings.
Naturally.
Wow. Literally, we are attacked for being men. Attracting more than 100 thumbs up likes of agreement. And then they're calling for boycotts.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, they're certainly not going to mancot it because.
Well,
I forking love that.
I just, you know, I can't remember if we've talked about the Jackson Katz TED Talk on here.
Maybe.
I don't think so. It doesn't ring any bells for me.
If you haven't seen it, you definitely should. And we can link to it maybe in the show notes because it's so fucking good. But anyway, he's this guy who does this TED Talk and he's worked extensively with like the military and various like university sports teams, et cetera, maybe contracted for Gillette, who knows? Cause it really sounds like his sort of like wheelhouse. But his whole TED Talk is that sexism is a man's problem and it always gets framed as a woman's problem, like women's issues.
Mm, yeah.
And how basically like male intervention, like male on male intervention, that sounds weird to say, but you know what I mean? Like men making other men accountable is like the solution because you know women can participate but like it's up to men because they're the ones creating the problem so they need to fix it right. But anyway it's really really good right. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a part to play in the Gillette thing but it's anyway it's the same sort of like mindset right.
And this does sound familiar. You might have talked about this before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have mentioned this before, but also it's up to men because a lot of times if women speak up, they don't get validated anyway.
Totally. And he talks about that too. It's so, so good. If you have not, seriously, anyone listening, you haven't watched it.
Name again?
Jackson Katz.
Okay.
K-A-T-Z. TED Talk.
Okay.
It's great.
I will link to it in the show notes.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's...
No, I know in my like brain that there are people that actually would see that and like agree with it and be like, yeah, on the same wavelength. But at the same time, the other part of my brain is like, how can you possibly be such an idiot? Like, how can you possibly think that? And it's
right. It's like,
and it's hard for those two.
It really is. It's like, I'm trying to think of like a comparison of like an equivalent of like, and similar ad that would like offend a woman in the same way. And it's just like, there's just no comparison.
Well, like, there's no comparison because men have been or not systemically marginalized group, whereas women are and have been for all of eternity. So there is no comparison. I would say the one comparison might, like, you could take like a race comparison.
Yeah.
And if you did that for, like, you know, telling white people to like fix our shit, which we should do, right. You'd get a lot of white supremacists that would be very angry that they're discriminating against us just for being white. Like, you'd hear a lot of that kind of bullshit.
Okay, let's put a pin in this because we are going to have a really long, well, we're going to, spoiler alert, we got an email about sexism. It's coming up later in the show. So let's put a pin in this. Does anybody else have anything that they want to talk about from their weekend or anything like that?
No, my weekend was good, but nothing really to like report back on. No, no funny stories, no uncovering graves.
All the graves remained covered this week.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I will say, so I cut my finger this weekend.
Ow.
And it has been a long time since I've done that. Band-aid technology really needs to come up. Because it's right on the tip of my finger. And I'm gesticulating with this finger intentionally to prove the point. But like, because you use your hands all the time and it's like I'm constantly in water. It's like I wash my hands, the Band-Aid comes off. I am going through Band-Aids at an alarming rate.
You need something really, for the tip.
I do. I need something for the tip. I need like a finger condom.
Like, there are those like, kind of like there are those like second skin Band-Aid type things now.
Right.
That or might
like,
work.
Like this the straight up like finger condom that you see on like cooking shows that they put on.
I got stitched here and I did the like the glue thing and I have to say it didn't really work.
Oh, I got that is problematic on so many levels.
Right?
Oh man.
Yeah, just saying. And then I got pregnant. No, actually my time
how you get pregnant?
Happened right around the time I got pregnant. Coincident? Maybe it was the universe telling me something.
I never knew. Public school health class.
Anyway, I'm sorry though.
So
yeah,
I mean, the world needs to come up with better Band-Aids because this is so wasteful. I have gone through like 18 Band-Aids in 3 days. It is really like not good.
So I wonder if you could go like super sort of like low tech old school and just do some gauze.
And then I suppose I could. Because it's more, I just want to like give it a head start on the healing process.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, when you like, I will spare everyone the gory details, but yeah, it is not cute. It's not a great look. And it's like right on my finger that I type. Like I use this finger a lot. So it's just, it's very present in the front of my mind.
Thank God it's your right hand. You have to write with it.
That's true. Oh,
that's true.
It's true. But this is like my mouse clicking finger. It's my index finger.
So many euphemisms.
Well, you need to keep it bandaged when clicking that mouse.
Right.
You don't want any bacteria to get in.
No, definitely not. Then that causes a whole host of other problems that we just really don't want.
Right.
Okay, we can move on now.
If anybody is wondering, the speeding ticket is still not in the system.
Hooray!
Oh my god! An entire week later, like seriously.
Yep, you're defying the system here.
I think this upcoming Saturday will be 4 full weeks, and we had 15 days to pay it.
There's got to be some sort of statute of like if you haven't filed by now.
I know, but I don't know.
Good lord!
I don't know. Do most people just send it in by mail? Watch, there's going to be like a warrant out for Jay's arrest.
Exactly. This is crap. You know what? I'm a little bit surprised and disappointed that we didn't get any feedback from John on this whole process.
True.
Just saying. I'm just going to throw that out there into the, you know.
Guess interwebs. We know that maybe someone is not current.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I've seen the downloads for the last few episodes. I think a lot of people are incurring. Tell your friends. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Tell your friends anyway.
Coming up, nothing but binging the broadcast for the whole 3-day weekend.
Yeah. Desiree,
you have your homework.
She texted me and told me. She's like, we listened to you all morning.
Nice.
Anyway, my time hop reminded me of, did I ever tell you guys about the letter that we got from our disgruntled neighbor?
Oh,
no, you did.
Okay. So we were in our townhouse. The garages were kind of small. And after Zach was born, we just started moving like crap into it. And, you know, it came that we couldn't like really park in it. So it was, we were told that we could use the visitor spots by at where we were, because there were a lot more visitor spots than other areas of the neighborhood where there was like two or three visitor spots. Whereas we had like a whole row and a half of visitor spots. So we used to park in the visitor spot, and this apparently very much angered one of our neighbors. Okay. You ready? Okay. This is a letter to the HOA. To whom it may concern, I understand that there will be a decision regarding the matter of residents using visitor parking spots for their own. If you decide to allow homeowners to park in the visitor spots, then I ask that no single resident be allowed to claim any one spot as their own, as has been done in the case with the red Volkswagen belonging to the residents of address. This red car has continuously claimed a specific visitor parking spot as their own. There are two, and the spot in question is the more northern visitor spot between, and then list these other two addresses. So we had rows of them, but there were two that was in between where like the breaks and the houses were. And that was like on our side of the street. So it's parked there because, you know, nobody else was in there, I guess. So causing no one else, myself included, to ever have a fair chance at using that spot personally or for the intended visitors that do come by on occasion. To amplify the issue, the residents of our address do not appear to leave during the day for any longer periods than a trip to the local food store, causing the possibility to claim the visitor spot by anyone else who is working a regular 8-to-5 job, impossible. First of all, we used to go to work, so I don't know what the fuck.
We don't currently, but we used to.
So, whatever. If the board wants to rule on something in a general matter, fine. But I believe, would call for a unique case. This is an abuse of usage of that parking spot occurred by the residents of our old address. And there will be more abuse of this spot if the board rules in a broad sense, clearly not understanding the specific issue concerning that spot. So essentially, he's having a hissy fit because he wants to park in this spot and he hasn't been able to.
Or maybe it's not even that he wants to park in that spot. It's that he wants to have the possibility
to park in that spot. He wants
to park. Just wants it available.
Okay, ready? This is the part that actually infuriates me. My garage is cleaned and usable as a garage where my car is always parked. Then why the fuck do you care who's parked in the other spot, you piece of
shit? It's the principle of the thing.
Asshole. If one were to see inside their garage, meaning ours, one would see that it is packed almost to the garage door with overflow of household items. Whatever.
Also, fuck him.
Who cares?
Right. What is he doing snooping around your house?
Exactly. Why is he snooping? He parks his car in the garage. So why the fuck does he care? There's 8,000 other visitor spots. But let me continue. This is the part where I was just like, oh, poor baby. Is it fair for someone who lives by the policy diligently and upholds the mandated regulations to sacrifice the usage of amenities that are being paid for by oneself to others who live hazardly and lazily and furthermore abuse the system? Once again, to sum this up, if the board were to decide to allow residents to park in visitor spots, then please add something to the decision to hinder any one resident from taking full possession of any one specific spot, since this type of behavior is abusive to the system and is not right to other HOA paying residents who should be allowed to use visitor spots as intended from the outset of the community's establishment. Thank you, anonymously, a concerned HOA paying resident.
Wow, okay, they're theory. That pissed and they can't even sign their own name?
Right. I have a theory.
Please do.
This guy is also very upset about the Gillette ad. Right.
I think you're right.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably hear that wrote sound? It strongly
he just threw
letter.
Out all his Gillette razors. Yes. You hear it? Clink, clink, clink.
Well, he was cleaning out his garage anyway.
He didn't put them in his garage. He put them and right. on the street on the right day. No. And then got mad because the little old lady next door couldn't put hers all the way. She could only drag it halfway because she is old and feeble.
Yes.
Instead of going to help her, he just wrote a really angry anonymous note.
Totally. He also looked through all of his neighbor's garbages and yelled at the people who put pizza boxes in the recycles instead.
Totally. Right.
But seriously, Kate, I acknowledge that our garage used to be somewhat of a disaster area. And that is why we parked in the other spot. But again, like, was it really that big of a deal? There were 800 spots and all he had to do was be like, hey, can I park here? They could have spoken to us, or they could have gone to the HOA like in a different manner and be like, hey, I really want to use this for myself, but I'm instead going to write a really indignant, stupid email over a letter over it.
I mean, or they could have just parked there when you guys were at work, which you were. Or when,
right.
Like, there's a difference between, there's no way that you can claim it for your own.
Right. And right? Like, thought that we were claiming it for our own when we really were. Just,
if nobody's parked around there, then exactly. You park there.
Now, I bet there's a right. million people that have already written angry emails to us about how selfish, terrible neighbors we were. But I maintain that that email is completely over the top and ridiculous. And I'm really glad that finally, 3 years later, I can make fun of it.
I just don't understand how people get so worked up over something and then don't can't sign their name to it,
right?
Like, if you're gonna spend all that time to write a letter and you're clearly that upset about it, like, own it.
Yeah, no, but in all seriousness, my issue with that was that it called us hazardous. We lived our life hazardously and lazily when he had no idea how we lived our lives. We didn't live our lives like that. We had a young baby. We were working full time and we were exhausted, and it wasn't like we were, you know, squatting there like in our garage or something. Like, so my moral of my story here is don't be a dick, because you never know what other people's situation is. And if you're just going to get all pissy about it and like stomp your feet and write an email, then you know what? I've got a party with 300 hamburgers for you.
Oh my god, I kind of can't get over that.
I know, right? Is that the trashiest thing you've ever seen?
I don't know. It's
essentially Donald Trump threw a party for the Clemson winners. And
oh, right. And it was all this fast food.
Uh-huh. I just like the pictures. It's just like the,
I just saw a headline about it, but I didn't click on it. Oh, so I know nothing further.
I tried to stay away from it. And then I saw some of the pictures and I was just like, oh my god.
I know.
And then car wreck, like, you can't look away.
Yeah, I know, right? Because you're like, oh my god, that is so much fast food.
And how it's like on silver platters. There's like Big Macs on silver platters.
I know.
Like, no.
I just think
America like has a complex about not being, you know, like fancy and not knowing how to do this kind of stuff. And while I think that we should fully embrace what we are, and we don't necessarily have to be like, you know, snobby, chic, whatever. At the same time, there's a fucking limit. And McDonald's in the White House. That's your limit.
Anyway. All right. We've got a ton of feedback. I'm going to punt the other stuff that I had to next week again, but spoiler alert, the thing that I had found was, what's a food that you deliberately prepare wrong, because you like how it tastes. And one person was like,
"Oh, that's good."
It was actually really, some of the answers were really good. And I thought that they would be really fun. But
let's save it till next week. That'd be like a tasty treat to look forward to.
Literally.
I don't know.
Exactly. Next week will be our cheat day.
Next week will be our cheat day. Sounds good to me. Okay, cool. We'll save that till next week. So let's, I guess, move on to our feedback. All right. Starting with farting in your facey back. Gott says, "I'm always happy when this comes out early on Friday so I can listen at work." Yay. That's one of my other resolutions. Try to always get it out. Always have the show posted in the morning hours of Friday.
Oh.
I mean, nice. I've had that goal every month for the last year and I failed miserably. So we're going to just.
Yeah, you're a busy lady.
Yes.
Christy said, "Missed you guys so much. Bring on the broads. We're back."
Yay.
Dad also said, "My new word of the day is janky, of extremely poor or unreliable quality. Thanks, Shandy."
Such anytime. A great word.
I love that word.
It is a good word. I hadn't heard it.
Satisfying to say. Yeah, same.
Rose says, "Trying to ditch the evidence one undergarment at a time." And she links to an article from the AP saying, "Suspected shoplifter leads police on a 100-mile-per-hour chase. Panties, bras, and other shoplifted items were tossed from a car being chased by police at speeds nearly reaching 100 miles per hour in northwestern Indiana. The driver almost struck other vehicles before her car tires were shredded by spikes across a roadway by police. 4 bras, 14 pairs of panties, 2 candles, some air freshener reef, and some all valued at about $445 are believed to have been stolen from a retail store called Portage, east of Gary, Indiana." Gary, Indiana. Okay, sorry. Anyway, so the rest of it is just all the details. But that sounds like somebody that was desperately in need of new panties.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And 2 candles.
And candles.
Hey, you know, they bring a lot of ambiance to a room.
Totally. Yeah.
JP says, "Oh my God, I would never get out of my car to try to mail anything in New Jersey. Now I know what my car smells like here." Matt Splaining said, "The bonus Matt's what she said that we missed last week were for the re-released first episode and a little bit of that blooper reel. So we will have to get to that at some point."
And but you can also go and check them out in the Facebook group.
In the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/JJackGroups. Or you can just, if you're subscribed to the actual broadcast feed and not the whole enchilada one, you can download the original episode and hear it for yourself. And just remember that that was 3 years ago at a time when I didn't clean out my garage.
You were living like a heathen.
I was living life fork in hazardly and lazily. And then Matt recommends some new books, and that would be Silence of the Girls by Pat Barker. That is the Iliad from the point of view from a woman whose people were conquered by Achilles and then forced into sexual slavery. Sounds like a treat. Severance by Ling Ma. A young woman survives with a small group after a virus rendered most of the population mindless drones. I feel like I've actually heard of that one.
Isn't that like that bird thing?
Bird Box?
Bird Box?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't watch it, but maybe that's why. If that is, then that's what.
No desire.
Yeah, pass.
The next one is Vicious by V.E. Schwab. 2 super-powered former friends become archenemies. That actually sounds kind of like my jam.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, me too. And I'm a non-book front, but I finished Marvelous Mrs. Maisel over the holidays, and it is delightful. It's on my list too.
Yeah, still haven't started. Sorry, Matt.
It really is. Like, it's problematic in a lot of ways. Like, I really don't think it and again, I'm not Jewish, but I feel like it probably does not paint Jewish people in the most favorable light. But it's still just so really watchable, and the production value is so good that I find myself forgiving a lot of things I normally wouldn't.
Oh, interesting. Well, we'll have to watch and then we can compare. Yeah.
Hopefully sometime before the summer or just in the middle of our summer. Let's talk about this show.
Right.
Because we got some shows to talk about this summer starting in June. Big Little Lies, just saying.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes.
We should do a Big Little Lies podcast.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we already have a star of the show in our midst. Right.
I can give you all sorts of insights into, you know, behind the scenes and
gotta cash in on that.
I mean, I think I already did, but I don't think I have more than what I said. I don't remember what I said though, so never know.
Right. I can say it again. It'll all be new. I can't remember what we said 2 episodes ago. That was like 50 episodes ago. I'm not gonna remember.
Right.
I am very excited for your debut, though.
It's going to be great.
Me too. I know.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great slash probably horrible because I am not an actor. But hey, woo.
That's okay.
I don't know. I think you are a natural.
Thanks. I was very nervous.
All right. Let's get into some That's What She Says. Our generation really doesn't do that anymore.
I love those. I want a pair of those.
Everybody go.
How are you supposed to find it?
I knew roughly where it was. I uncovered one and it wasn't them. Like, sorry.
By the fifth one, I found them.
We're going to do this and we're going to do this today.
Welcome to Lapine.
Well, I fork him
up. To be fair, we knew what we were saying at that one.
Yeah. The whole point was that in French, that's not only just the peen, but it's also a verb, pine. It's like a multifunctional peen word. It means exactly what it sounds like in English. That's great.
Awesome.
Nice. I guess that wasn't short, but I'm done.
It was only supposed to be for an hour, but I was probably in there for an hour and a half.
I was so sore.
The good sore.
I feel it. I'm a little sore the next day.
It was like 40-minute videos. I'm like, Adrian, I have to go to work.
I can do this year every single day.
The first two or three were pretty damn long.
You get one of those every single day of the month.
I'm not wasting any of my three things on that.
I knew I was probably going to be doing it in the car.
I don't know who's familiar with New Jersey rest stops.
It's like this wide and like, yay high.
All right. I think I'm going to give up on this.
He said it was 15 minutes. I feel like it was only around 9 minutes. But we didn't time it.
And as we were getting pulled over, I was pumping.
The sweeper set me off.
As of today, 1919, it's still not in there.
It's still not in there as of 11519.
So I ended up getting it here.
If you want to borrow that tip.
I literally got it 2 hours ago.
I'm done. It took an hour and a half. Well, it took 25 minutes. I'm going to get this down.
Oh, I just got that.
I'll let you do it.
He goes through all this work doing it.
Yes, he does.
Yep. As he rightfully should.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. All right. Let's get to an email from JP from NJ.
All right. So JP writes in GTA Raleigh, which if you're not familiar, is the abbreviation for Grand Theft Auto. It took me a moment.
Okay. I had no idea.
It's not. Yeah. Well done. And you say you don't get pop culture references.
Right. I believe this is an incredibly sexist video game. It's also a crime. Right. Okay. Happy 2019, broads. I'm hoping you each have a wonderful year. Thank you, JP. Hearing about Colleen's attempt at upping her previous cosmetic crime spree to now Grand Theft Auto,
GTA.
Reminded me of a similar incident with my parents a few months ago. One night, I had accompanied my mom and stepfather to dinner. My stepfather, who drove, dropped us off at the front of the restaurant. He then parked in the lot around the corner and joined us. After dinner, we walked to the car. They opened the doors and climbed in. I opened the back door and noticed this wasn't our fucking car. Sorry. This wasn't our forking car. So someone at this restaurant left their doors unlocked and my family didn't even notice but simply climbed in. And it's not like our car was one or two spots down in the same row. It was on the other side of the parking lot facing a different direction. FML, which is the abbreviation for Fork My Life, JP from NJ.
Oh my God. That's on your stepfather, dude.
Yeah. True. He was the only one who actually knew where he put the car. So.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I feel so much better about myself right now.
Yeah, you at least didn't get into the car.
God. All right. Now it's time for the sexism talk that we talked about earlier. So we have an email from Joanne. And this is actually was jointly written in to the Ramblecast After Dark people and Ramblecast After people, the gentleman on the Ramblecast After Dark, and to us. So here's our reading of it and our response to it. The subject of the email is "Sexism is dead?" Question mark. The subject refers to the headline, Tucker Carlson, colon, "It's almost impossible to find sexism these days." Well, fuck that guy. I'm out. A note to Desiree. Who spurred me to write this email, even though the thoughts behind it had been mulling through my head for months? I really appreciate your emails to the Ramblecast. For those and a bunch of other interactions, including lunch with Shandy a couple of months ago, and and email managers telling me not to worry about my idea of creating team banners because they, quote, had the girls working on it, unquote. I have been thinking a lot about the topic of sexism and how to move forward in a positive way. Excuse me. That's not the Coke or the Adderall. It's okay. And how to move forward in a positive way while tied to past experiences that color our language and actions often in negative ways. I decided since this is both a topic relevant is both a topic relevant to both podcasts, and as noted, I am writing due in part to motivation from both, I am making this a dual submission. One recommendation is that, assuming Desiree has no objections, the broadcast read both of Desiree's excellent emails to the Ramblecast before moving forward in reading my poorer attempt on the subject. So I have some excerpts from Desiree's emails that we'll read at the end of this, because I do think that they will kick off some great discussion in to add to what Joanne has said. So with that, I will pass this off to you, Shannon Pants.
Okay, so then Joanne goes on to discuss how in her workplace, she actually works with a lot of women in upper management and just a lot of women in general, and how, you know, everyone has their positives and negatives, and your sort of job in a professional environment is to try to bring out the best in everyone, knowing that everyone, men and women included, all have kind of their quirks. And then going back to the headline, she says, if you want to do a little experiment, take Tucker Carlson's statement above and note how often, before you even finish, if you say it to a woman, they will begin laughing at the absurdity. She says, I recently had dinner with a friend and brought up the subject and the no sexism concept to my friend. First came a laugh, and then came an out-of-the-blue story about horrendous abuse suffered in her childhood. Wow. This is so tied into the past experience that colors us internally and not always known, and is not always known by others. Certainly not known by coworkers, and sometimes not even by friends.
And Joanne continues, I also, as part of this thought experience around past and present and sexism, or in this case, the sister sin of racism, had my own sort of awakening to mistaken generalities. My recent trip to Asia was in the company of a lady who had been on my staff for almost 20 years. She is now a deputy manager who also happens to be African American. I almost never think of her in terms of race or gender, except for occasional glimpses, like going to her mother's funeral, which was not like the funerals I have attended. During the trip, we got in an in-depth discussion about her past in Louisiana, when she was in the Air Force and facing strong enough racism that she felt compelled to carry a gun for protection and got out of there as quickly as possible. Later that trip, I made mention of my philosophy that most people are good, and she said, not from her experience. Put me and my philosophy in a new place. It fit in with other parts of this email and more that I won't get into, but really makes me think about how experiences form actions, words, philosophies that can be unknowingly tinged as isms. Okay. So after starting this email several times the past month, I finally did it. It may be a bit rambling, but at least half for the Ramblecast. I hope it makes at least half a joke about the Ramblecast that I am ruining. Sorry, Joanne. I hope it makes some sense and perhaps spur more discussion and maybe other emails on how our own and other experiences affect implicit and explicit sexism, racism, and other isms by us and by others. The ever remarkable Joanne.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
I think the main thing to focus on that we wanted to talk about with this email was kind of how we began with the Gillette discussion earlier. And it was how she finishes her email, how our own and others' experiences affect implicit and explicit sexism, racism, and other isms by us and by others. I have highlights from Desiree's email, and I'm going to read those to piggyback on what Joanne says, and then we can have a free-for-all. So Desiree had written into the Married Men Ramblecast After Dark, and this is from that. She said, basically, a joke that was made on the show was implying that Jay was a girl. Do you know what it's like to go through your whole life having your gender used as an insult for men? You don't. It's disheartening. It's actually heartbreaking when you hear it from someone who you respect. Yes, I know that you did not mean it to be so awful, but this is what women live with every day. They are the joke gender, less than men. We live this every day. Every day is a fight just to be equal. And yes, we should focus on ending sex trafficking, which I guess was from another discussion. But while we do that, we should also change the way society thinks about women. We should stop celebrating songs that treat women as inferior. We should stop making comments that are harmful to women. We should stop telling jokes that make women seem incompetent, helpless or naggy. I think that we need to have these. This is another quote. So that was one excerpt. This is the second one. I think we need to have these kinds of conversations all the time. It's hard to understand when you are the privileged side. Just like with racism, discussions can help foster understanding and change. Maybe if we change society to make women less of sexual objects, more of equal humans, we would have less rape, assault, domestic violence, and sex trafficking. Maybe this is a small way that normal people can change the world.
Snaps.
So yeah. Good.
Forking yeah, so it. Good.
Yeah, for both, both Joanne and Des, thank you both, as always.
Yeah. Really well put.
I mean, like, definitely, like, all the yes. I think, like, going back to the title of Joanne's email, it's like there is a Venn diagram, and it perfectly intersects, for the most part, of, like, the people who are upset about Gillette's ad and the people who would actually say that sexism is dead. My thing is, like, there are so many little things, and we could talk about all the things. And I was just Googling because I was trying to find this article that I had shared a while ago with a group of some acquaintances. And I was really floored to see that things like suggestions such as ways that men could support feminism. One of them was men. Be sure that you're doing half, if not more, of the chores and stuff at home. And some of the men, like, actually shot that down. And I was like, wait, what world are we living in? Are we in the upside down? Yeah, it was very, very strange. But anyway, so I was trying to find that, and I can't find that exact thing, but there are tons of other articles that list off all of these things, you know, how sexism is basically like touches on all of our lives in every single facet of our lives. But even if you want to go from some of the smaller stuff that we don't see, which is just as important.
Before you start the smaller stuff, I looked up, I mean, I knew what it meant, but to get something, a basis. So an implicit bias or implicit sexism, which I think probably is some of the smaller stuff, is
an unconscious
attribution of particular qualities to a member of a certain social group. Implicit stereotypes are influenced by experience and are based on learned associations between various qualities and social categories, including race or gender.
Yeah. And so like to go with that also, I think you have this idea of sort of like the overt sexist versus the quote unquote benevolent sexist, where like everyone can sort of get on board that like the overt sexist who says outrageously sexist things or like is out there like raping women. Everyone can kind of get on board with the fact that like that's not okay. Like that's an explicit bias and it's like super overt sexism. And of course, that's super important to eliminate. But once you start eliminating that, you have to watch out for the implicit bias that we all have for all different kinds of things. And right. It's just about being conscious of that.
Those people and goes, that guy's a jackass. But it's when it's the more subtle things, I think, that really keeps things from changing.
Well, implicit bias is the dude who would be like, yeah, don't fucking rape women, while at the same time laughing at the idea that men should do half of the housework, if not more. Yeah. That's right. Like, that's what that is. So, and again, those ones are harder to see. And that's the quote unquote benevolent sexist who is going to want to protect women. And, you know, so like, it's like, he's being nice, but like, really, no, he's like putting her on a pedestal or he's inferioritizing her in some way. Like, it's also not good. But what I was going to say is so there's all of the implicit stuff that there are lists and lists. Like, I just came across like 20 things men can do to support feminism. 100 easy ways men can, you know, get their head out of their ass, like things like that. That's all easily findable on the internet. But like for me, for the explicit stuff, my measuring stick, my yardstick, this is all for Matt. The sort of like first hurdle to jump over will be, for example, when we've had as many female presidents as male presidents in the United States, and we still have had zero, right? When we have as many, if not more, women on the Supreme Court, when we have
9.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For that exact reason, when that's the case in all representation, in all government, in all businesses, when we have a fucking woman pope, then we can maybe start having a conversation. That's the thing, is like people still, like a big majority of people still give it a pass because quote unquote tradition, but that's not okay. And it's sexist. And so that's what I'm saying. The day that we have a woman pope, okay, then let's talk.
Right. So
until then, fuck you all.
I feel like I need to spell this out for some people. So going back to like the Supreme Court example, when there were, you know, 9 Supreme Court justices that were all men, nobody really was like, thought that was radical. But when RBG came out and said, when will there be enough women on the Supreme Court? When there are 9, everyone was like, oh my God, the liberals, they're just going to ruin society.
I know. What a radical feminist. She must hate
radical
men.
Idea.
What yes. a radical
in
idea.
In this post-sexist, post-racist world we're living in.
It should be equal. There should be an equal number of men and women on the Supreme Court. And all of a sudden, it's like when women want a, you know, piece of cake, if you will, then
right. Then we start getting real interested about equal.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. No, we need a little bit of a cosmic shift, like, honestly. A little bit of, like, a... a non-white male takeover. So I don't just want to say like just women, or like just like sort of cisgendered women. But we really need to like balance out the scales by overbalancing to one side, which is the non-white, non-straight white male side for a while. That's right. I think.
Well, because when you think about it in terms of like a boat, when a boat is trying to level itself on choppy water, it has to tilt way far the other direction before it eventually finds its balance in the middle.
Oh my
and
God,
so we've been
it.
Really tilted on one side for a very long time, and we need to overcorrect in order to get ourselves to a smoother place from which to sail forward.
Amanda, I think that might be my favorite metaphor I've ever heard, ever.
Well, good. I'm glad.
And just to, because I think we've done pretty good with this discussion, just to bring up one last point that I had when Joanne and Desiree talk about like the little things, or I'm sorry, Joanne, Desiree, and Shandy mentioned like the littler things, something like the example that Joanne had with her coworker, where Joanne always assumed that most people are good. And honestly, I kind of did too. I assume that 65% of the population, of at least the American population, is good. I had also that most people are inherently good at heart. You know, they don't wish bad things upon people. And that's from my experience. This woman clearly had a completely different experience. And for me to say something like, oh my God, what a drama queen, or something that discounts her experience, that would be an implicit bias, because that would be me taking my own experience and dismissing somebody else's experience. And I know you guys know this, and I know that most of our listeners probably know this, but I have found that there is a decent amount of people that need something, specific examples kind of spelled out for them to know this. Or with Desiree's email, where she was upset there was a joke that implied that Jay was a girl, and he might not care that, because his whole life the joke has been some form of, like, it's been a 12 years of the podcast, you know, kind of joke that.
Well, and perhaps his masculinity is not as fragile as.
Well, exactly. Exactly. It's not. He is not bothered by it. He's been hearing those jokes for a long time. Doesn't bother him. You know, you become immune to something after a while when the actual butt of the joke isn't you. Like, you're a girl. Okay, well, you're a girl. But certain people don't stop to think, like, when you say that, you're making them out to be the joke gender, like Desiree said. And when you become the joke, it's just like when you marginalize immigrants at the border. Well, they're thieves and rapists, and they're here illegally and blah, blah, blah. It makes it for certain people. They hear all these things. They're bringing drugs into the country. There was an immigrant that killed somebody else, and they were here illegally. All those things go to what make you emotionally disconnected from the plight of people who aren't really like that. And that's what jokes like that do for women, is they're making society somewhat emotionally disconnected from the harm that a joke like that does, because your underlying perception of a woman would be that they are weak. They are less than men. Words matter, like Joanne and Shandy and Desiree were saying. And perhaps we can just change our language a little bit as a way to start to change perceptions and maybe get a little bit more equality. And I mean, it's going to take a lot more than that, but that's something little, like, you know, you can recycle your water bottle instead of throwing it in the trash. It's just a little change.
Colleen, it's interesting that you brought your sort of ending point is something I've been kind of thinking of, because it really is the implicit bias is really, I think, really becomes the most problematic, because it is the most nuanced and detailed and gray. And it's where I think people get the most offended, because it's really hard to look inward upon ourselves and see the things in which we need to be fixed. And that just gets me thinking about, in general, this idea of how do we reframe the conversation and the thought and the thinking, so that it's not a Gillette ad is not an attack on you, but it's constructive criticism. You know, when you go into a job review, like you don't want to be praised for an hour. You want that constructive criticism on how you can be better. What if we looked at this is that's just what this is. It is we as a society don't think we are so far gone that we cannot collectively come together and fix it. And if we look at these things as though they are a step towards fixing a problem and not just allowing you to continue to just burn up in the dumpster fire that we are currently living in.
You have to admit that there is a problem, and that's what you
right. Right. That how do we switch the thinking from I'm being attacked to someone cares enough about our future that they want to help me be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it gets to obviously like a structural problem, which needs to be overhauled and fixed. And that's like, once again, I'll come back to the patriarchy and the patriarchy sets up, it's like this competitive model, right? Where it's hierarchical. Everything is sort of in relation to like, okay, is it better than this or worse than this? It's why I fucking hate like top five lists generally, except for Matt's. But, and so if that's the way that you have constructed society and there are winners and losers and, you know, there are the people on top that are better than the other people, then, okay, so you have women and you have men and then you have all these other categories too, but let's just simplify with women and men. And so where do you situate them? Well, if like, you know, if it's the patriarchy, you're going to situate the men at the very top, and that's not even what she said, but, you know, so women are automatically relegated to the lesser position. And so it's changing that framework and moving into more of a society that values cooperation and equality and the values of everyone. Because also I think when you have this sort of like hierarchical, like top to bottom sort of chain, it's almost like, I mean, and then like you put capitalism into that.
Right. Too. And I was going to say living in a capitalist society, like it is literally built to have winners and losers. So it's like, right. It is so ingrained into the fabric of what we value here that it's very hard to untangle.
Right, exactly, which is why we should maybe work on these things and just be conscious mm-hmm. of them. But because I think in that sort of society, then it's like I think the idea is that there's this finite amount of things, and so whether they be tangible or not. And so if somebody has the things, then somebody else doesn't have the things. And you want to be the person who has the things, even if the things are like praise or appreciation, right, or, you know,
equal power.
Right. Which the fact of the matter is, like, it doesn't have to be like that. Appreciating, you know, equality for women does not mean that men need to be oppressed. Nope. That's the whole beauty of it. But if that's the way that you look at the world, then that's the way you're going to conceive of it. And so to change that, I think, is hard. But again, it's like going back to the ad, how we'll change that is by really investing in teaching the younger generation.
Yep. Teaching and listening. Yes. And listening. If you are a white male, perhaps you should really spend a little time just doing a little bit of listening. I know that's something that I do a lot of. Even as a white woman, that I have so much to learn. And I recognize that. And when I'm in spaces where I don't know what the F I'm talking about, I don't talk. I sit there and I listen.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh my God. And that's one of the things that's listed in one of these lists, 20 things that men can do to get their head out of their asses. I'm not sure what the actual title is, but it's talk less, listen more. And actually another thing that we can all do, I think, and that I've been really trying to do over the past couple of years is specifically to try to consume media by people that aren't in your immediate circle. So like if you're a straight white man, really try to listen to 50% or more podcasts by women and all types of women, you know, try to like, I
aren't straight white men.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I try to read books. Well, I do read books only by women. I tried to make sure that it's not just white women. 'Cause at first it was, and I was like, oh shit, this is what happened, you know, and like seek out podcasts. Like I specifically sought out podcasts that talk about race, where the hosts, one of them is an African French person and one of them is an Asian French person. Like, you know, like those are the kind of things that you can actively do that will expose you to different ideas and different viewpoints.
Yeah. Agreed. If anybody would like to continue this conversation, you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or you can give us a voicemail. We love voicemails now that we know how to play them. 331-676-7373. We are always down for a good social justice conversation in general.
Yep. Totally.
We will talk to you about anything but shoplifting. And the friend. Those topics are dead to us.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was one of the suggestions in the 20 things men can do is seek out genuine friendships with women.
Nice.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Don't just try to get in their pants.
There you go.
Amen.
So again, thank you, Desiree, for sharing your emails. And thank you, Joanne, for sending the email that started this whole thing.
Yes.
We love
it. We heart you both so very hard.
So very hard.
All right. So we're going to finish up real quick with a voicemail from Maggie and then an Andy update. This is our first Andy update of the year.
Oh, is that a question? Yes, I believe it is. It was like borderline. It could be a statement. It could be a question.
All right. Take it away, Maggie. Totally not queued up as always. All right. Take it away, Maggie.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen, it's Maggie. Happy New Year! Ooh, so great to have that episode with you guys last week. I'm very excited for another one. I missed you guys when you were gone. But a few things. Shandy, you were talking about doing yoga for 30 days in a row. Ooh, that good job. Maybe I'll try that this summer. I cannot do that during the school year. And so I'm still working a part-time job until June, so I'm still a little busy, so. Maybe this summer, though. That's a good goal for the summer. Amanda, you talked about the massage and feeling sore afterwards. Try an Epsom salt bath afterwards. Mm. I get a massage once a month, and the Epsom salt bath really helps. Especially, I have a sore muscle, like Epsom salt thing that is at my store. It's labeled for sore muscles, so it's really nice. So you guys were talking about gluten allergies and you forgot one. There is another one other than intolerances and allergies, which is celiac disease.
How did we mention celiac?
It's the one that I have.
Oh.
If I were to be gluten, it would take 3 days for me to know and I would see effects for 3 months. I call it an allergy when eating out. Because restaurants understand allergies, not autoimmune conditions, and I don't have time to do a science lecture every time I'm learning something. So, yeah. The last time I was gluten, it was really bad. After 20 minutes after every meal, my body would say, "You're starving." It would act like I hadn't eaten. And I'd be like, I just ate. But my body's saying, I'm hungry, because it just wasn't absorbing nutrients. And it was...
Oh, my goodness.
It really sucks. And yes, there is more than just an allergy and intolerance, which I do think some people have. Not everyone does have to be as crazy about it as I do. And I'm very jealous of them. But I've heard a story of a nun with celiac disease who was taking a communion wafer and she was still getting having symptoms because there is... There was just enough gluten in that communion wafer. So, and then for Kathy, whose daughter came out as trans, I had a friend who came out as a trans woman a year and a half ago. And so I have lots of thoughts from seeing it on the outside for her and stuff. I would just say be supportive as you can. Change your pronouns. If you make mistakes, change it right away. She'll understand. She'll understand the mistakes.
Oh, please. Oh my God, that was a fast 3 minutes. That was a fast 3 minutes.
Hey ladies, it's Maggie again. I knew I was going to get cut off. Okay, so Kathy, I will send an email through the broads with some more thoughts for you. But just a few things. just try to change your pronouns. If you realize you messed up, try to change it right away. It gets easier. It really does. I don't even think of my friend as her former self anymore. Like, she's just she's just a she now, and, you know, we just sort of, you know, she started to hang out, come to girls' nights and all that stuff, and it was tricky at first, and you just sort of have to know it's tricky, and you're going to make mistakes, and as long as you seem like you're trying, you know, my friend changed her name, so, you know, we kind of had to, friends had to go from a switch the name and everything, and so it was just, yeah, but I have definitely some thoughts of what I've sort of observed with her and from family and stuff that I will send an email. And then the other thing I want to share with you, Kathy, is one of my favorite podcasts other than the broadcast is How to Be a Girl. It's a woman who has a fifth grader who is trans, and so she's talking about that. It's a little younger than your daughter, but it might give you some help and know that you're not alone, because you're not. And I will definitely get an email to you through the Brads very soon. So thank you, Brads, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
I'm a little bit ashamed that we forgot about celiacs.
I know. Sorry. I thought we brought it up. Sorry, Maggie.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
That's a bummer, and I'm sorry that you have to deal with that.
Yeah. Thank you, though, for that great advice for Kathy. And if anybody else has it, when Maggie sends us the emails, we will forward that to you. And if anybody else has any advice for Kathy, please, again, the broadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can shoot us or send us a voicemail at 331-276-2373, and maybe I'll figure it out enough to play. All right. We're going to end this B with an Andy update. First one of the new year. Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Okay. The new year in Andy's virginity. Andy writes in, "Hey, Broads. Hope you all had a great holiday season and that 2019 is treating you well so far. Unfortunately, I can't say I ended 2018 nor started 2019 with a bang, but the holidays were some enjoyable, low-key events. Sorry I forgot to leave my New Year's resolutions for the last show, but I couldn't think of any. I mean, what would I like to do this year for the first time, perhaps? Can you think of anything? Well, fuck me, I'm stumped."
See what you did there?
"I'm glad my last email came off as hopeful toward the end. When I was writing it, I was worried it would come off as a downer, and I didn't want you to wrap up your show for the year on a low note. I know I'm far from alone here, but the holidays can be a little hard for me. You were right with your comparison to what John was feeling in his email from the last episode. I don't want to speak for him, but I definitely have similar feelings where I take stock and wind up thinking more about what I don't have. It happens a lot around New Year's, both because it is a day about looking forward and back, and so much of regular life is slowed down or on hold. It also seemed appropriate re-listening to your first episode where Will asked what we would tell our younger selves." Oh my God, maybe I need to actually listen to that.
Me too. I miss Will.
I miss Will too. What's up, Will?
Seriously.
It's been a while.
It has.
"All right. Fortunately, I am in a decent place right now, so my sense of perspective is in good shape. Certainly, my situation sucks, but considering the never-ending shit show of the past couple of years, me not getting any is pretty low on the list."
Yeah, I mean, you could be eating fast food in the White House with Donald Trump after winning, like, a national football championship.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty big low.
Yeah. Or at least a disappointment.
Andy says, "Finally, I'm not the guy from The Bachelor. I don't want you to, but apparently the guy this year is a virgin and is getting made fun of for it. I saw some talk of The Bachelor, but I didn't actually really look into it."
That is a subtle bias that, well, not even, that's a fucking big bias. See?
Mm. Yeah.
It's part of what Desiree's email was talking about that I didn't copy and paste to our outline, where she was talking about how there's different standards for men and women women having sex.
Totally.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Being made fun of for being a virgin, but you know, women who have had sex often get called things like sluts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, if the woman on like The Bachelorette hadn't had sex, the men would be like salivating over it, which is also disgusting. Okay, so Andy says, that's about it for now. I'm going to get to hang out with Alice at a group event soon. So hopefully I'll have a little more to tell you next time. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy. And then he wrote in an addendum earlier today, which says, hey, broads. Quick follow-up since the last letter ends on a cliffhanger with me getting to spend time with Alice. Unfortunately, I didn't get to talk to her as much as I wanted during the group hangout. We met at a bar, which was pretty loud, and then moved to a restaurant a little down the road. Since it was unbelievably cold, I broke off from the group walking there and went to move my car closer. That turned out to be unnecessary as it wasn't that much further away from my car, and I wound up sitting at the other end of the table from Alice. Oh, well, better luck next time. I will say there's definitely a lot of health benefits to walking.
True story.
I love walking. No, seriously, mm-hmm. not like I love beer. I mean, I love beer, but not like I love walking. I walk everywhere.
Yep. Same, same.
Yep. Well, Andy, to a new year. You've got this, friend.
Yeah.
Yes. Andy, I really do have a good feeling about 2019. So
she does.
Yeah.
And actually, I did want to go back to one thing that you said in your email about the year winding down and it kind of being a bummer and ending up focusing a lot on, you know, things that you don't have versus things that you do. And I would say that is something that you can be in control of and you can reframe the way that you're thinking about it and try instead to really focus on what's positive and like, you know, enumerate that out instead of thinking about all of the things that you don't have slash want. And I know that's easier said than done, but it's definitely a mental shift that we can all work towards.
Yes. And that actually made me think of something that a friend of mine told me the other day that a friend of his does. So this friend, he sets little reminders for himself in his phone. So if he like works out in the morning, he'll be like, hey Siri, remind me that I worked out today. So when you're getting all bummed, Siri comes in and reminds you of something great you did for yourself and like boost your confidence. And I just loved that. And I think that is totally applicable for you, Andy. When you get bummed, think of something good that you did that day for yourself, or just do something good for yourself and tell Siri to remind you about it later when you're feeling blue again.
Oh my God, this is like a Daniel Tiger song come to life. Yeah. I'm not even.
Maybe this friend of a friend is Daniel Tiger. We don't know. I don't know this person.
No, I'm not kidding. Zachary every morning goes, Alexa, play the Daniel Tiger soundtrack. And then we listen to it. And this really does, Amanda, you sounded like a living Daniel Tiger song. So thank you.
All those years of public television finally paying off.
Alexa's now playing Daniel Tiger. Daniel Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, anyway, well, thank you, Andy, for the update. We look forward to taking this journey with you in 2019. Thank you to everybody who's listening right now. Thank you to everybody who wrote in, called in. Thank you to the patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack or you can go to JaneJack.com and click on the Become a Patron link in the show notes. We had our first patron for 2000. We had our first two patrons.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
And that would be, we had Caitlin and Melody. So welcome, ladies.
Hello.
I'm hoping you're listening to get our welcome right now. If you would like to meet a patron again, you can do that. If you are at the $5 or more level and you get into the patrons group, you totally have to make your first post. Hashtag I'm with hers. Hashtag I'm just saying. But yes, thank you. And thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level. And that would be Jack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne the Magnificent Joanne. We've got to come up with something other than Joanne with a plan. Joanne with an equal rights plan. I don't know.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ed the Creepy Mailman. And did I forget anybody?
Tokyo, Eckhart,
Maggie, Joanne, Ed.
I think that's everybody.
Ed. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you guys. If you'd like to be number six, please, again, we would appreciate that. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to jandjack.com/Amazon, and that will redirect you to a page that helps us out every time you make an Amazon purchase. And if you would like to pick up some merchandise, including a broadcast sticker or a Team Universe, Team Science mug, and whoever else is coming down the pipeline, new things are coming. And that would be jandjack.com/store. Well, thank you again, everybody, for listening. Please don't live your life hazardly and lazily. Otherwise,
unconsciously.
Consciously. Fucking. So I need a name for him, like Barbecue Becky. Like, what would be this person? The Garage Gary. Don't live your life.
Garage. Oh, yeah.
What'd you say?
No, I was trying to incorporate Grumpy into the Garage Gary thing, but I think
it's too much Grumpy. Parking spot Peter, because we have a ball that we were friends with. Parking
spot. Oh, there's a lot of Peters in my family.
Yeah. How about
parking
visitor spot Vic?
Visitor spot Vic. Don't be a visitor spot Vic, everybody.
Sorry to all the Vics that might be listening.
No, in general, like if you have a problem with somebody and you know that they might be young with a newborn baby, maybe just, you know, be nice to them.
Their life is much harder than yours probably at that moment in time.
I may be sleeping less, but again, unlike you, I don't want to assume what you're going through in your life, but I will say that, you know, you do sound like a dick. Okay. And please, I look forward, and by look forward, I mean I don't look forward at all to all the emails of people being like, I know people just like you, and fuck you, fork you. All right, on that note, my name is Khalid.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Chandy.
Peace out.
See you later.
Okay, we were just kidding. We're back. In 2 weeks, on January 29th, the episode...
Like a Marvel movie!
Oh, yeah. This is a Marvel movie. Oh, my God. Yes. We are going to be doing a podcast with the Real Weird Sisters, another crossover. We're recording it on January 29th, and I guess that's the episode that comes out on February 1st. So, please, ooh, get your... What's the good place word for shit? Get your stuff in.
Shirt.
Get your shirt in.
Get your shirt in. It can be love-related shirt because February is the month of love. And I've been reading recently about things.
Yes.
And it turns out that's like a long-standing, there's like long-standing pagan roots to this February love thing. So
cool.
Send us a love fest.
Yes. Okay. On that note, goodbye for real. Bye.
A second scene.
Crazy.
I can't remember if I ever even said this on the podcast because then we went on break. But I was a guest on the Real Weird Sister.
You did the movie
holiday show?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't say that.
Right. It was their holiday show. And that came out towards the end of December. And that's a really fun listen. So you should check that out if you want it. You know, I don't know. Hear me on that. But we did talk about basically like who we shipped that never actually hooked up in the books. So if you listen to that and you're inspired, then maybe, I don't know, you can go with that or write us about something completely different. Whichever.
It's fine. Awesome. Okay. All right, goodbye. Avada Kedavra show.
Jesus.
Whoa. Harsh.
This took a dark turn. All right,
can't we just extinguish? What's the extinguishing spell? Opposite of Lumos.
Yeah.
Turn off.
Yeah. Reverse Lumos.
Reverse. That sounds like a sex position.
All right, bye.